Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Massive, massive, a tectonic shift. Think of what happened when lawyers took on big tobacco, changed the world forever. I'm not kidding. Think of what happened when a big law firms took on asbestos, changed safety forever. Same with a Ford with certain cars that had a rollover issue. Same with airplane safety. It's massive. What happened yesterday in court, and twice in a week, by the way, the big players, Meta, Google, Facebook, all those folks, found negligent. And the jury and judge said, hey, this stuff is killing kids. This is massive. I thought, because I've heard from the outcome and I've heard from the birth of social media, which I've watched happen. Patrick, we were always told that they were immune, man. We were always told you couldn't sue them. We were always told that they're protected, that it's really not their content. They're just kind of putting it out there. Not no more. I love it. And someone who gives it, right, man?
Well, yeah, and this goes beyond the content.
Oh, yeah.
This is the platform itself.
Right on.
So not just what's on it, but how it works, how it's designed, what's behind it.
It's an insane game changer. You know who believes that? You know who gives a damn? You know who's fighting for consumers and kids? Mandy Steele, what's up, my friend?
Hey, Marty, great to see you.
Here's why I love
her. Big day.
She's always fighting for the folks in her region and now beyond. Kind of give us, Representative Mandy Steele joining us, when you heard this, what is the significance in your world?
I mean, like you said, Marty, this is a game changer. And what previously we knew as a country, as parents, was wrong and problematic for our kids, but it felt untouchable. And the game has changed because in a landmark lawsuit out of LA and one coming out of the Southwest as well on the same day, it was found that Meta and YouTube are designing features with the intention of addicting children. And so they were found guilty of that. And now we will see tens of thousands of lawsuits around this country follow.
And a change in the way they present their content, right? Right?
That's right.
That's right.
They better. And you know what? We need to be acutely aware of in moments like this is that under the United States Constitution, the states hold the primary inherent policing power to enact and enforce laws pertaining to public health and safety. And so now that we see a settlement like this, the states have got to move. The states have got to take action to protect kids in this country. And I have a bill that is moving along, chugging along in the legislature that I'm really excited to talk to you about, Marty.
Hey, before we get there, I got to say something to you. Because you're like my wife and you're like myself. We collectively see this power that social media has over our kids. Do we not? And we said we got to do something. And that's where you're at with this too, aren't you? The danger here. We see it every day.
100%. I'm a mom of 4 school age children. Yep. I've got 2 in elementary, 1 in middle, 1 in high school. Clear as day, there was a problem with how children are experiencing childhood today. And I hear about this from colleagues in the legislature and the governor, but more importantly, from my constituents. And it's an issue that I hear about equally from Democrats and Republicans. People see this with clear eyes. There is something wrong. And now, not only do we have these lawsuits, but we've got data, Marty, research, abundant and clear, that says that directly from the time the kids started having these devices in their pockets, we see rates of anxiety, depression, obesity, yep. self-harm episodes, children being admitted for hospital stays. Horrifically suicide rates are shooting through the roof. It's a hockey stick in the data where everything is going along just fine. Then bam, smartphones wind up in kids' pockets and you see a massive spike. Children are the future of this country. What the heck are we doing? We have to take action based on the science and just the obvious concern that's right in front of our faces.
Representative Mandy Steele, who is insanely proactive for consumers. It's why we always hear from her. Here's what annoys me. Wall Street Journal, which I love, wrote a piece this morning and said, this doesn't help you. It doesn't help parents. It doesn't help kids. The big law firms get money. I say to hell with that. I say this results in a tectonic shift in the way they present their content and the content our kids have access to. Does it not? It's a hammer on their head, and they better fix it or they'll get sued until they don't exist. That's right. Is it not, Mandy?
That's right. We're going to see, like I said, there are currently 10,000 lawsuits already pending. Now they're going to form into class action suits. Yes. They're going to hit you cannot. We have precedent in this country. You're exactly right. In your opening, you discussed tobacco, other addictive substances. There's precedent. You cannot design something with the intention of hooking children, of playing on their brain chemistry to make them be addicted to your product. That's wrong. We do not tolerate that in this country. And we're about to take on this fight in a big way.
Hey, you know what irritates me too? It's not our fault. It's Mandy's fault. It's Marty's fault. It's Marty's wife's fault. We should control our kids. It's a little more than that, Mandy, is it not?
It's a little more than that, 100%. Uh-huh. And we do regulate other addictive substances. This is just one more that we've got to regulate. Parents need help. Parents are overwhelmed too. Marty, this is new to them.
Right on.
It's new to you. It's new to me. It's new to parents.
I'll tell you
what. We need help. We need guidance.
Something else I love that you're doing that has been a pet project of my wife and Devlin Robinson, who I know you know, and it's this push, which is brilliant, to limit or, in fact, ban cell phones in schools, right? Right?
That's right. That's right.
Let's talk about that. Why is that important to you too?
Yeah. Okay. So for the first time in decades, Marty, decades and decades, we see that national testing standards are reflecting a dramatic drop in academic achievement.
They are.
So not only are our kids being harmed significantly mentally and physically, but also academically. Again, the entire future of our country. I mean, this is a big issue. This is a big one.
Massive.
Massive. Obviously, we all are very familiar with the lore of a phone on your person, your desk, in your pocket.
Right on.
Children have brains that are less able to withstand that lore even than we are. Imagine having a cell phone all day while you are trying to study math and reading. It's fraught. And so Senator Robinson and I both care about this issue a lot. We both have bills in the legislature to enact in Pennsylvania what is called a bell-to-bell policy.
Boom.
So that means that, boom, right? So that means that when a kid comes into school, the school collects the smartphone and stores it for the day. Now, in some cases, like at Shadyside Academy, you know, where they've got a lot more resources than some other schools, what Shadyside did is they enacted this a while back. And they collect devices in yonder pouches. Well, a yonder pouch is really great, but it's about $30 a pouch. So schools, that would be much too expensive for them. What we are seeing incredibly that works so well is a teacher in the morning collects phones in a Tupperware bin, stores them for the day. The school adds a 5-minute homeroom period to the end of the day. The kids go pick up their devices, bam, hit their bus, and head home.
I'm in. And check this out. My wife just went to a meeting last night. When kids have access to their phones in class, 95% of them are either on the phone. Some of these kids are shopping during class.
Yeah.
And check this out, Mandy.
Yeah.
One of the professors said, not only that, 95% of these kids, if given the choice, will use AI to inappropriately answer questions or even write papers for them during class. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
It needs to be restricted.
It's dangerous. Yeah.
Hey, what's the chance of getting it passed, considering the support you have? Is it good?
It's good. It's real good. It's so in my work as a state legislator, I represent a district that's split. It's a cool district because it's split almost evenly between Democrats and Republicans. Oh. And that is really important that we listen in those places because that's representative of our entire country. And so I try to really focus on issues that are bipartisan, that have consensus on both sides of the aisle.
Right.
This is one. So that helps. We've got bipartisan consensus. We have bills in both chambers. And importantly, when the governor, Governor Shapiro, gave his budget address this year, he called for a bell-to-bell ban on cell phones in schools as one of his top priorities. So momentum is there. We've got to keep pushing. And I think we're going to get it done this year.
Hey, Mandy, when this happens in my house, or when we order them to put the cell phones away during dinner, or when my wife brings up that she's on this committee in LEBO, which is fighting just as hard as you are to ban cell phones, LEBO unplugged, you should see them roll their eyes. Yeah. Or do this. Mom, do your kids do that?
Yeah. Marty, they do. But let me tell you, so I've had a group of 30 middle school students from Fox Chapel at the Capitol with me yesterday.
Uh-huh.
We did a mock debate where I said, let's talk about cell phone bans.
Yeah.
They did the same thing, Marty, as your kids. They rolled their eyes. They said, no way. By the end of that debate, Marty, every kid in that group was saying, you know what? I wish just nobody had phones. I want to play tag at recess. I want to talk to my friends in the hall. It was shocking and distressing.
I can see that.
We've got to listen to the kids.
But by the way,
you give them a little nudge. You say these companies are exploiting you. They are trying to manipulate your brains to make you addicted to their product or device. Kids have sense. They don't like that.
But let me say this.
They're with us too.
You're a leader in both Harrisburg and at home, and I'm the same way. Our kids watch us. So when I'm producing my show at dinner, they're like, hey, Mom. They literally say, hey, Mom, look at Dad. So my point is, we got to kind of walk the walk too, because we live off these phones. Mandy, this phone is like dialysis for me in terms of producing and producing content live and getting phone numbers and information live. And it's like 18 hours a day. I have to pull back. And I'm guessing because you're so important and so many people need you, you have to pull back too, right?
Yeah, listen, what time were you and I texting last night?
It was late.
10 p.m.?
It was late.
I think. I hear you. I'm with you. We all need to take a step back.
And people start hearing from me at 4 in the morning. And so she's right. And what you're doing is courageous, and it's what I love about you. Thank you so much, Mandy.
Marty, you're awesome. Thank you.
She's why we elect leaders. Mandy Steele, state rep, who gives a damn.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Phones are like fentanyl. The fentanyl is actually used in a hospital setting to really actually help folks get through insanely painful surgery. However, it kills when used improperly. The cell phone has been weaponized by so many people, whether it's hate speak, whether it's social media comments, whether it's porn, whatever it is, it's been demonized and weaponized. And and empowers maniacs, quite frankly. However, comma, it is an amazing tool to communicate like we've never been able to communicate before and use information. It's also helpful to some kids, educational to some kids, within limits. And look, I have to put the phone away because I can't manage it without it. We have this, we produce a 4-hour show every day, and it has, it's not just one of those, hey man, give us a call shows. It's all content all the time. I spend on and off probably, honestly, 12 hours a day on it, maybe more. And I get up at, I'm not complaining. I love the gig. Love it. Love the make a difference. And I get up at 4:15 and I'm on it on the Peloton bike. I am. And then I'm in bed at 9:40-ish. And that's when I put it away. And all night, if we're watching television, anything, I'm setting up this show or texting Patrick or posting videos or on social. What's my point? We have to lead by example. So when I'm at dinner with the kids, I have to put it away. When we're driving, I am apt to try to send a text while driving, which is ignorant and just asinine. And you're putting your family at risk. And so because I always feel like the next text coming in is the president or the governor, and it isn't, I have to understand that what I want to do will wait. My friend Richard Bazzi, who runs an empire, quite frankly, and is really good at it, had 2 car accidents in one day texting while he was driving. Yet he still texts every time he drives. I'm not judging. I'm not crucifying him. Because he's a businessman, and so the business is always running through his head. And so to Mandy's point, to my point, yes, I love what the schools are doing, restricting the cell phones when they're in school. But when they're not, when you're at dinner and you look around and you see a family, and there's 5 of them, and they're all on cell phones, why are they there together? When you're at dinner and you see a couple at dinner, and the entire meal they're on their cell phones, why are they doing that? That's not a relationship. It's not love. It's ignorant. It's lazy. But it's what we do. So fine. Order the cell phones banned, bell to bell. I think it's amazing. But also restrict yourself in what you do, because they watch us. They just do. I'm on the phone, and I looked, it's probably 4.5-5 hours a day. What is your show? What is your show? It shows us every day how long we were on.
I don't look at it every day, so I don't know, but it's probably not I'm going to look and see what my activity is now.
I'm about 4.5 hours a day, pushing 5 some days. And it's important because it's tough setting up a show in a window of 20 minutes. But my point is that we have to lead by example. I like the restrictions in schools. But when you're out of school, it's on us. It really is.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Erin's cool. Really cool. She got a TV job. We're at Patrick Steubenville.
Yep, WTOV9 Steubenville.
Very, very, very nice. Very intelligent. Very cool woman. Really cool. I want to get into this Rooney Rule thing. It's actually interesting. And it's kind of hit the fan. And I'll tell you why. So, the Attorney General in Florida said that the Rooney Rule is unconstitutional and illegal. Okay? What is the Rooney Rule? Put in place by the Rooney family. Shocking. Thus, the Rooney Rule. In essence, suggesting that teams looking for coaches have to interview minority candidates, hoping that we'd have more equity in terms of minorities, considering more than 94% of the players are black. That you would have more black coaches. There's only three. And this year they hired 10 new coaches and not one of them was black. So folks are saying we need more representatives of black men. And there are no black owners. Okay? The attorneys in Florida, the attorney general says to hell with that. It doesn't matter. The Rooney Rule is unconstitutional and illegal. Listen.
My office is sending a letter to the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, regarding the league's hiring practices. Specifically, the use of the so-called Rooney Rule, which requires NFL teams to interview candidates based on race. The NFL's use of the Rooney Rule violates Florida law by requiring race-based considerations in hiring. Florida law is clear. Hiring decisions cannot be based on race, and the Rooney Rule mandates race-based interviews and incentivizes race-based decisions. That's discrimination. We're demanding the NFL suspend the Rooney Rule, and failure to do so may result in enforcement actions against the league for race-based discrimination. NFL teams and their fans don't care about the race of the coaching staff. They want a merit-based system that gives their team the best chance to win.
So, the NFL disagrees. In fact, they say they have this new program, accelerated program, to include non-minority candidates, trying to fend off some of the political climate, the DEI situation, diversity, equity, inclusion. However, black players have said there's a double standard, including former Dolphins coach Brian Flores, who sued the NFL, saying, and he's black, and he's a hell of a coach, saying he's been discriminated against because he's black. I reached out to the Rooneys and the Steelers. They have no comment. But I'm told they're upset as hell by this attorney suggesting that this is racist and that it's illegal. Here's my conundrum with this. I love the Rooneys. I love what they represent. I love their leadership. I love what they did. That's why we had Tomlin. I love the fact that they give a damn. And the facts are clear. If you want to look at it pragmatically, from sheer numbers, does it make sense that most of the players in the NFL are black, get three coaches, and that they hired 10 new coaches this year, and not one is black? However, comma, I like to go to the facts. I ain't no lawyer, and I don't play one on the radio. However, the Supreme Court has consistently ruled that rigid racial quotas in college admissions are unconstitutional. And the Attorney General in Florida will argue that this also applies to the NFL. University of California, 1978. The court ruled that while race could be a factor in holistic admissions, in other words, overall, in other words, if there are 35 factors, grades, sports, that race can kind of be included, but it can't be the factor. All right. Then students sued Harvard. This is a big one. I remember this one. In 2023, the Supreme Court struck down race-based admissions programs. And by the way, Harvard's argument is this: we don't have any black students. And I agree. I see the issue. I love to see minorities getting opportunity. The Supreme Court said you can't. They ruled that race-based admissions are unconstitutional and lack a logical endpoint, reversing decades of precedent that limited race consideration. Another case, 2003. The case allowed for holistic consideration of race. Again, big picture. Athletics, grades, activities, volunteering, all that stuff. Race can be one of them, but it can't be the only one. And they ruled that it reaffirmed that racial quotas or insulated categories of minority applications are unlawful. These decisions ended the use of, I'm reading, by the way, from data that I pulled, which is why I love AI, ended the use of race as a plus factor in admissions, finding that schools lacked a clear connection between their stated diversity goals and the means used to achieve them, violating the Equal Protection Clause. When I was in Dallas, this happened. White lieutenants who were passed over for commander, yet scored the highest on testing, civil service testing, were passed over for black candidates, sued, and won. It's a slippery slope. Let me tell you this. I was unable to get a comment from the Steelers. I'm told it will be discussed at the owners' meetings. I guess they're next week. I'm not familiar. But I'm also told through back channels and sources that the Rooneys are very upset by the discussions that are emanating from Florida. Very upset. We'll see how this plays out.
My office is sending a letter to the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, regarding the league's hiring practices. Specifically, the use of the so-called Rooney Rule, which requires NFL teams to interview candidates based on race. The NFL's use of the Rooney Rule violates Florida law by requiring race-based considerations in hiring. Florida law is clear. Hiring decisions cannot be based on race. And the Rooney Rule mandates race-based interviews and incentivizes race-based decisions. That's discrimination. We're demanding the NFL suspend the Rooney Rule, and failure to do so may result in enforcement actions against the league for race-based discrimination. NFL teams and their fans don't care about the race of the coaching staff. They want a merit-based system that gives their team the best chance to win.
I'd like to see more black coaches. This would, it's their game, and they got 95% of the players. I do know, actually.
I mean,
I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on the radio, but he's probably right, legally, from what we're reading. I apologize, Trevor. Go ahead.
No, you're good, man. I mean, sometimes there's some things that you're afraid to talk about because it goes so much deeper than the actual topic itself.
It does.
And people get lost in different variables.
It's true.
So you're not looking at the specific topic. For me, in my opinion, this is Trevin Jones, Jones' opinion.
Yeah.
The NFL is the old boy network.
It is.
At large.
Why wouldn't it be? It's all rich billionaire white guys. True.
And as I'm raised, I wasn't raised as a person to look at color, but I am a black man in America.
Yes, sir.
And I always tell Patrick this every day. Your perspective and my perspective, two totally different perspectives.
True.
Your challenges and my challenges, two totally different
true
challenges.
True again.
Now, let me take it a step further.
Of course.
For all the women out there, I have so much compassion for your struggles because me as a black man, I see things one way. You as a woman, you see them totally different, but you as a black woman or an Asian woman or a Latino woman, you see things 10 times harder than and have to do with things 10 times harder and worse than what I have to do
with. Well, to your point, and I get this from my daughter because she's a massive advocate for women's rights and she's a big fan of the WNBA. They stood strong and had leadership and just got a 400% raise.
And rightfully so.
Right on.
I mean, I'm not mad at that. And getting
No, my man. I love it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Getting back to what we were talking about, with the NFL, I'm a football fanatic. I love
Same.
The NFL.
I'm obsessed.
It's been unfair since day one.
But,
black ownership.
But you're listening.
Unfair.
You're a smart guy. You're listening to me read off these Supreme Court rulings. The law is probably against what you're saying. They probably lose this.
You can always argue something.
No.
I don't have a problem with that.
I'm saying they might be ordered to stop it.
And it's still unfair.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's still going to be unfair.
Right
if you keep it, some people are going to say that's unfair. If you get rid of it, people are going to say that's unfair.
Right
it's
on.
Still unfair.
Right on.
Level the playing field. Yep. That's all I'm saying. Yep. Level the playing field.
Yep. Because come on, man. Do the math, brother. 10 openings. The vast majority of the players are black. You're telling me they couldn't find one?
Marty, go back in history. I was telling Patrick this. Go back in history. Look at the NFL. You can almost count the number of black coaches in the league in its history.
True.
The Super Bowl is 60 years old.
Yep. Walt, thanks for your patience. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Marty. So I just wanted to chime in. I'm a fairly conservative, you know, obviously white guy. But where I think the statement from the Florida guy is wrong is that there's nobody that is imposing a quota, okay, as far as how many black coaches need to be a percentage of the 32 teams. All they're saying is let's give an opportunity to some black, smart football guys.
No, there is a quota. You have to interview two. There is a quota.
Well, okay, right. Okay, so there's a quota for the interview, but there's not a quota as far as who needs to get hired.
Yeah, but that's a quota. I just think they'll stand that ground. I know what you're saying, but they're going to say, hey, you can't do that. I think.
For what reason, though? You're not mandating that they hire a black coach.
I'm just telling you,
if I read
the Supreme Court stuff, by the way, regardless of that, do you think there should be more opportunity for blacks?
Of course, I absolutely do.
Yep, tomorrow.
Which is why I think that this is the Rooney Rule was not only a good thing, but I also don't. Now, if they were saying one quarter of the 32 teams must have a black head coach, sure, that would be illegal. But to simply say that you just need to interview two, there's absolutely, in my opinion, nothing wrong with that.
Thanks, brother. Choose a number, though. I'm not taking a side.
And if I could, Marty, don't get caught up in just the black-white thing. I'm talking about Latinos, talking about Asians. I'm talking about opportunity across the board.
I, through back channels, because the Rooneys had no interest in messing with this today. And why would they? That they're very upset about this. I'm told that this will be a part of a broader discussion. By the way, great call, Walt. Appreciate you, man. I don't know, Walt. I just don't. I think it's intriguing as hell. So, in the ignorance of Matt, why not the same concern about the lack of white players in the NFL? Come on, man. Come on, man. Don't be stupid. Come on, man. That's about talent, bro. Come on, man. Come on. That's just stupid. Collins next.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.